Why is Mauritius continually ranked as a better investment destination, a better HQ domicile for multinationals looking to springboard into Africa, for PE funds structuring their investments into the continent? Is it all just a tax thing? And what about the common reporting standard? How will that change the tiny island's appeal to investors? Well, Corien van der Merwe, MD of Sovereign Trust and Sovereign's core business, is setting up and managing companies, trusts and other international business structures. So she knows a thing or two about what makes Mauritius seem like Africa's Singapore, has been looking at this. Welcome, Corien.
Thank you very much.
Now, the island has long been held up as the jurisdiction of choice for firms wanting to expand into Africa. But before we go into the tax advantages, what else makes Mauritius so attractive, apart from the beautiful beaches and friendly people, of course?
Well, Mauritius is quite close to South Africa, first of all. So people who want to actually set up proper offices in Mauritius employ South Africans who, as we all know, are quite hardworking. It's really quite an easy shift to just move your offices and operations into Mauritius. There's no exchange control like we have in South Africa, which can, as we know, can be very, very frustrating. And then you can also run your businesses in various currencies. You're not just subject to the rand. You can play around with operating in dollars, euros, pounds, and even some interesting African currencies, if that is your thing. Just to mention a few.
If you look at the legal underpin, the history of the country, firstly, obviously an enviable democratic history if you look at the African context of things, but really all underpinned by the rule of law, which is a code inspired from the French and English law codes, which we're quite familiar with here in South Africa. The English
yes,
in
no,
particular.
No, definitely. Especially the English, you're right. I mean, if you look at how they draft their trust legislation, how the company documentation works, the legal documentation, it's very easy for South African lawyers to understand that.
When we look at the corporate forms that Mauritius offers, I believe there are two main corporate structures, what you call a GBC1 and a GBC2 company. Just take me through the difference between a GBC1 and a GBC2.
Okay, so a global business category one company is a tax-paying entity in Mauritius. Usually the corporate tax rate would be 15%, but you are allowed to apply various foreign tax credits of up to 80%. And the effective tax rate then usually comes down to about 3%. You are allowed to do some business on the island, but not the majority of your business.
Right.
And it's allowed to access the country's double taxation agreements that it signed. With regards to the global business category 2 company, that is Mauritius' offshore version. It doesn't pay any tax in Mauritius, so there's no corporate tax, but it is not allowed to do any business on the island itself. It can also not benefit from the double taxation agreements that Mauritius has signed as a country.
Right. So obviously, if you're looking at the choice between setting up a GBC1 or a GBC2, it really comes down to the type of revenue that you expect to receive.
Yes. Often we say to the clients that if you are going to do business within Mauritius, it's very, very easy to decide. You need either a domestic company or a global business category 1 company. The global business category 2 company is not going to work. That works for clients who just want to have a base somewhere outside of South Africa. They might not be involving South Africa in any business, importing, exporting, maybe getting gadgets from China, selling it to the rest of Africa, but they just need to have a base somewhere else. Then a GBC2 company would work. But if there's any intention on doing business with locals in Mauritius, that's definitely a no-go.
And we see many financial service firms operating out of Mauritius and in Mauritius. We know it's got quite a sophisticated banking sector with some, 22 banks, I think, in Mauritius?
Yes.
Quite phenomenal for such a tiny island. But, I mean, Corien, when you look at it, and these things are all fairly well known about Mauritius, but we've had the common reporting standard come into play, but also I think many detractors would say that the exchange of information between Mauritius and South Africa is so high nowadays that it would negate any benefit accruing from setting up a Mauritian entity. How would you respond to that?
I think the answer to that is the world has really become so transparent, not just Mauritius. in light of common reporting standards that's kicked in on the 1st of January 2016, no matter where you set up a company or a trust, there is going to be exchange of information. And if you base your structures, the successfulness of your structures on secrecy, I mean, you should really, really go see a lawyer and relook at how you structured your affairs, because the whole world is now talking to one another. The only difference that common reporting standards has brought in is that the exchange of information now is on an automatic basis, and it's not on a request basis. So even though the South African Revenue Authority would have been able to request information from Mauritius in the past, now it's going to be shared automatically, but so it also applies to the rest of the world. So it doesn't make Mauritius any different in that respect, to be honest.
Well, to the rest of the world, apart from a few states in the USA, Delaware, Nevada, if you look at it, and it's very interesting to see under Trump whether or not he's going to be bothered at all by the diktats of the OECD in that field. But I hear what you're saying. If you've based the rationale for your corporate structure on secrecy, well, best go see a lawyer. But if there is a legitimate business reason for doing it, and it doesn't have to rely on bank confidentiality, then you're pretty much in the clear. What are you seeing in terms of appetite for Mauritian structures at the moment? We know there was a huge surge around the late 2000s, early 2010, 2011. Has that died off at all? Are people still quite keen on Mauritius as a foreign HQ or other corporate structure destination?
I think what we see at Sovereign Trust is that there's definitely still an appeal for Mauritian structures. What has definitely changed is the substance. People that set up structures in Mauritius do nowadays make sure that there is proper substance. It's not just about having a shell there and all the operations and the effective management control still takes place in South Africa. When people set up companies, or when they come to Sovereign Trust to set up companies for them, it's actually to run a proper business from Mauritius. They do place people there, do make key commercial decisions in Mauritius, and a lot of their accounting takes place in Mauritius. People trip around from Mauritius. They have Mauritius as their base. So we don't see a decline in the number of companies being set up in Mauritius, but we definitely see a change in the way that they structure their operations in Mauritius. They actually make it a properly run business from Mauritius. Sure. Whereas I think in the past, a lot of people were getting away with just setting up a shell, but the decisions were still being made out of South Africa. And as we know, that doesn't work nowadays.
So I can't just set up an outside broadcast studio and run Classic FM from Johannesburg, but broadcast from Mauritius and spend my afternoons on the beach. There you've gone and ruined my afternoon, Corinne. But it's been very interesting chatting to you, and very interesting to hear the advantages and the benefits still that reside in the Mauritian structures, even in this era of the Common Reporting Standard and FATCA and all of those other things. Thanks so much for your time.
It's only a pleasure.
That was Corinne van der Merwe, MD of Sovereign Trust, sharing a little bit more about Mauritian offshore structures here on Classic Business. Well, as Arabile Gumede relayed earlier, the JSE couldn't sustain yesterday's record close, and that momentum dipping back into the three-year trend lines today. Over in the US, having predict-tweeted Dow 22K yesterday, Apple's 6% surge after missing its iPhone sales estimates has confirmed US President Trump's forecast, as trannies diverged drastically and Dow futures briefly spiked above 2020 last night. Trannies, well, Wayne McCurry, Senior Portfolio Manager at Ashburton Investments, is tonight's market commentator and knows all about trannies. Welcome, Wayne.
Hello, how are you there?
I'm doing very well, thank you. Let's start off. What is the rather archaic Dow Jones theory?